Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at ppclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Just put the verses of that song back on the screen for a moment. I want to pivot from them as I introduce our speaker this morning, Kevin and Julia because it rolls in the tip of my tongue, from the Restricted Access Nation, and now in another Restricted Access Nation. They have learned that God is awesome, that God moves mountains, that God keeps you in the valley, that God hides you in the rain. In fact, Kevin was almost dead. The churches across Canada, America, UK, all around the nations prayed for him because he was a prisoner for his faith. He was taken as a political prisoner, and God strengthened, God sustained, where God gave him strength where he was weak. There were times we got reports that Kevin is almost dead, but this is the dead man walking on our platform this morning. Amen. Thank you. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Welcome to PPC, Kevin and Julia.
Amen. It's so good to be here. Thank you, Pastor Marie. It's great to be in the house of God today. Actually, every day is a good day to be in the house of God, right? Every day. The sad ones, the bad ones, the happy ones, the difficult ones. God just wants to meet us, doesn't he? Always wants to meet us. Pastor Marie alluded to our 2 years in prison. Actually, 775 days. We're not going to tell that story. We were here about 4 years ago and shared a little bit about that. But we call those 2 years the bonus years because they were not punishment. They were God's preparation for the next. There were 775 days, yes, of isolation, interrogation, being falsely accused, threatened with execution many times, and finally convicted as a spy. So sorry you have an ex-con speaking to you today. It was painful, incredibly painful. But it was a time where God revealed himself and showed himself to be true, because he is. And our hope in Jesus changes everything. It changes what looks black to white. Okay? We never want to relive those 2 years. You know? Once is enough. We did not get a t-shirt either. But God truly is who he says he is, and he does what he says he will do. That's the word of God, right? And it's true. You can take a look at our book if you want. It's in the lobby, and it tells more of the details of that story. But those 2 years were really just preparation for what God is doing now. Genesis 50, verse 20, when Joshua shared to his brothers, really sets the stage and sums it up. Because he said, you intended to harm me, right? But God, what? He intended it for good. Not just for good, but to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. Not only in those 2 years in prison did God save lives, but he's saving them today where we are based. We are based, and I'm going to share the name, on the border of Thailand and Myanmar. We're about an 8-hour drive north of Bangkok. We're in a region that's in conflict right now because of a military coup that occurred a year and a half ago. But we see God writing another story. Another story of hope that is changing lives, because God's love is for the broken. His love is for the orphans and the widows and people in distress. It always is. We live 5 kilometers from this border. It's a river border. We hear bombs. We see the effects of civil war. We see people fleeing by the thousands, hiding in jungle camps, hiding, crossing the river, and all these things. But you know what? Despite all the suffering, we see God at work. As we did in prison, we saw him at work. Despite the horrendous things we went through, Jesus was and is our living hope. Amen. Right? He is. He is our living hope. Yesterday, today, and forever, he's our living hope. And the people of Myanmar are going through a horrendous season right now. And so God brought us alongside. He prepared us those 2 years in prison to bring us alongside what he is doing on the border right now. Praise be to God. First Peter 1:3 says, "Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into what? A living hope. Not a dead hope, but a living hope. God is giving us, each of us who follow Jesus, a living hope. If you're a believer, if you're a follower of Jesus, you have this living hope inside of you. It's alive, okay? It is this living hope that kept us through 30 years in China. It is this living hope that kept us through 2 years in prison. God made himself known in those days in prison. And this is what we bring today. It's a hope that changes lives. This living hope changes lives. These 2 years gave us a new perspective and determination, really, that everyone must hear. Okay? It's not, we don't get to choose. Everyone must hear. And God uses us to tell people, right? Each of us, not just us, but you, the us. Online, here, he uses us. We have this hope as a what? An anchor. Okay? An anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And we saw that Jesus was our anchor and is our anchor during those 2 years in prison and continues to be. We're not in an easy place right now. But God is who he says he is, and he does what he says he will do, because he gives us this hope that's a resurrection hope, that's a renewable hope, that is a sustainable and a hope that never, ever fades. Because Jesus does not change, does he? He doesn't. He does not change.
What happens when hope enters hopelessness? Have you ever thought about that? Holy hope. What is holy hope? What is perfect hope? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the first perfect family. No wonder we can't understand the mystery of the Trinity, because none of us have a perfect family. A family that is hope from Alpha to Omega. That video just gave you a glimpse of hope going into hopelessness. And what happens when hope, who is Jesus Christ, not a thing, not an it, when hope enters hopelessness, everything changes. It might be a bag of rice. It might be youth vision training youth so that they can actually have some sustainable livelihood and walk to maturity with their relationship with Jesus. It might be a family who just dedicated their time to come over for 10 weeks to work with us, and they brought a suitcase, and when they opened it up, it was full of frisbees. And they said, "Could this help?" Children playing frisbee is hope walking into hopelessness. When these children otherwise could be picked up by traffickers, instead they are brought to safe places. And we are invited. Would you visit? Would you come? Would you help? What are they really asking? What is the neighbor really asking when they said, "Oh, I love that banana bread you make. Could you just make some for me?" It's an invitation to bring hope into their hopelessness. And you may think it's too small a thing, but it's not. It's a huge thing. It's something that's attainable. It's not far off. The word is in us. The promptings of God go into our mind and they say, "What about this?" And you write it off and say, "No, no, 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 no." And we could have written it off after prison. And many people encouraged us to write it off. "Go back there? No, don't." And we're like, what else are we designed for? We are designed to live the fullness of our story on our own. We can't. In Christ. We can. In Christ, we can do what otherwise we couldn't do. And so there's a verse, 1 Peter 3:15, and it says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord." That's important. Do you honor him as Lord? Do you say, "All I do is in Christ"? Kevin and I got up this morning and we prayed and we said, with the week we just had, only in Christ can we stand here and share. And then I met your pastor, and she had a story of a tragedy that had went on in her life this week. And only in Christ can she stand up and proclaim Jesus is the answer, the way, the truth, and the life. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Don't skip that step. Don't run over with banana bread before you do step one. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that is in you, the hope that you have. How often? After 15 discipleship courses? No, always. The day you receive Christ is a good day to start. All right? You can start to share the hope that is in you. That's all we do. That's all we do. We don't do anything special. It's not because we have had extra chances to read the Bible, which has been an incredible blessing because the word is in our heart and in our mind so that we can do it also. But it's not necessary. When Christ came, he said, it's everyone can start immediately. Why? It's in Christ. It's not in you. It's not in me. But once you invite Christ into your life, it's in you. It's in you. The Holy Spirit is alive and well and living in you. Whoa. So you can be 5 years old and bring hope into hopelessness. Or you can be 95 years old and bring hope into hopelessness. Always give the reason for the hope. You can walk in and not give the reason. But people can feel it first. Why are you so happy? Why are you so joyful? Why do you come back after prison and still do this kind of thing? Because I can't live in myself. And I have a message to share with you. I can only live in Christ. And so I know what I have, you can have. If you're in the camp and you're all alone and there's bombs dropping all around, Jesus is there. He's walking around and he's inviting you in every day into this bigger story. And so do you want to walk like that? With him or without him? Why? Give a reason for the hope. Why? Because in hope, because it's a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit hope, there's resurrection in it. There's comforter in it. There's helper, advocate in it. That's the hope that we have. And how do we do it? With gentleness and respect, right? We don't just barge in to someone else's world without understanding them. We went only in January to full-time live in that area. And we said, okay, we just got to be good listeners. One, to the Holy Spirit. Two, to the Word of God and him revealing what to do. And three, to our hosts, to our host nation. If your neighbor is a different culture than you, listen to those hosts. Listen to what they say and how they speak and what they like to eat. Develop your listening skills. Because then when you bring hope in to the situation, they open their arms and they hug you and they receive it, or they listen, or they ask you more questions. So do it with gentleness and respect. Here's an example of a group of children who were completely hopeless in this little village. And they invited us. Can you help us? Can you come to our village? Behind it now is a little school, a makeshift school, in this little village on squatter land. And I taught them a little rhyme. Nation to nation, friend to friend, hope to hope, hope to hope. My hope can be your hope. And our hope is the hope of our future in heaven. That's the first visit, second, third, fourth visits. Not one child in that place still yet knows Christ because we only started going there. What do you think his plan is for them? What is his plan? Do your one visit and then just leave them alone? No. We might give backpacks that help their bodies, but God is after their souls for eternity. And the next slide here is another school which we had the privilege of going to. You can see if you look carefully, you can see it's a Buddhist school that was a refuge, became a refuge for some of these children. They just opened their doors and they said, it was actually a monastery, you can use this room to house your children. I went in there the first time. Can you see those blue shirts in the background? People wearing blue shirts. They asked me, is there any chance you could give some clothes to our teachers? I said, sure, we can do that. We can come back with some clothes. This is our first visit. I said, would you like a message on those clothes? You see, the Holy Spirit prompts you with these ideas. Headmaster, who is just this one out of five people there, he says, yeah, I'd love a message. I just scribble on a piece of paper. Hope changes lives. That's the introductory message. So now this is the third visit, and they're all standing there with their shirts, and if you saw the back of them, if they turned around, it would say, hope changes lives. You see, God is clothing them first. I never know how he's going to unfold his plan. All I want to do is live in Christ and walk by the Spirit and listen to the prompts and do whatever he says. Sometimes it seems useless. Is that enough? Why didn't I present the whole gospel message on the first visit? What if I can't go back? Don't worry about that. Worry about being in Christ. Think about being in Christ, letting the Holy Spirit invade your heart and mind and soul. And what I know is those two villages that I just presented have tasted hope. They've tasted of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I was here at one of your missions banquets when we tasted all those foods. Don't worry about coming back and just tasting a smaller gift. There's power in things. There's power in a taste. And so I was so excited that we could be invited by them to give an answer for the hope that is in us. And I'm going back tomorrow. I'm leaving tomorrow morning, and I'm going back. And I need your prayers. And they need your prayers. But first, I just want to say one last thing. If you haven't tasted hope in a long time, or if you haven't read this and just enjoyed the morsels in there, let alone the feast, do that first. Enter in to the full experience you were designed for, and then go out and put your hope in action.
Do you believe it? Those are Buddhist children singing, he's got the whole world in his hands. They're on their way. They're on their way to know Jesus. We got invited to that school, and it was amazing. We get invited back, and then we get invited back because there's something about this Jesus they don't know and they want to know. We often get asked to do various things. One time we're asked, could you help this group of people from an IDP camp, internally displaced people camp? And so we brought rice and we brought all sorts of things to them. And then as we got there and we're distributing rice and things, says these people are desperate. They said, why do you do this? Why do you help us? So I shared. I shared with them why we do this. It's Jesus. And I asked the whole group, I said, so who's here who's a Christian? One lady shot up her hand. Just one. But she announced to the whole group, I'm a Christian. And now everyone's interested, right? We get this opportunity. Sometimes aid comes first. Sometimes we get to share Jesus. But it's really all about Jesus, right? When we're taking a bag of rice or whatever we're taking, it's Jesus we're taking, right? We pray over that and we say, God, come and meet these people. It's what Mark 9:41 says. Anyone who gives you a cup of water in Jesus' name. Well, what is a bag of rice going to do? It's amazing. Sometimes we get invited to share Jesus first. We're invited to this jungle church. I call it the jungle church. You know why? It's in the jungle. That's why. Okay? And I get invited to this church by this pastor who runs a school for 88 children. And this is what he does on weekends, partly what he does. And we get invited to this church. And it's really just like your church. It has a roof. It has a floor. Sorry, it doesn't have walls. Or coffee, but it's got everything else. It's got instruments. You can see, if you look closely, the guy playing guitar there, a little bit out of tune, a little bit smaller than your church. Only 8 families of brand new believers. And we get to share in this church But first, they have a testimony day. You know, it's they're sharing their testimonies. And I'm just awestruck by the faith of these people. And this one girl, you can see her in the pink pajamas in the bottom right corner holding a child. And she shared, you know, I woke up one morning this past week, and there was a big snake beside me. So I prayed, and it went away. The snake was probably one of those poisonous ones. What do you call them? I forget the name now. But anyways, it was likely one of those, because those are in the area. But she just, you know, her two children and her, she says, in Jesus' name, go away. And it went away. Another man, he's a farm laborer in this same church. And he says, you know, I had to harvest the field for my master, basically the guy he works for. And they make very little money when they're doing this. And he says, but it was the rainy season, and I knew it was going to rain. So I prayed, God, keep the rain over there. Don't let it come here. Well, the rain stayed over there so he could harvest. Because who controls the weather, right? Who controls the weather? Yeah. A couple weeks later, we decided we'd go back to this church. We didn't tell them. And we just said, we'll bring some rice, bring some oil, bring some canned fish and different things like that. And as I got there, you see the man in the orange shirt. That may be his only shirt. I'm not sure. He almost was starting to cry, and he said, we just ran out of rice. Thank you. See, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. It's the promptings of the Holy Spirit that say, we know what's going on, right? And these people just walk by faith and not by sight. But that's how we're all supposed to walk, right? As Jesus prompts, we're to walk by faith and not by sight. Whether we're sharing ice cream with some kids in a mountain village, which we did a little while ago. Don't ask me how we did that, because that's a long story, but it was amazing. How we share ice cream with this village that's 2 hours up a mountain and 35 degrees Celsius weather, okay? But we did. But then this lady comes up to us, you see her on the right, and she says, would you pray for me? I have leprosy. And I'm thinking, ooh, leprosy's in the Bible. And so we pray. And she starts getting feeling back in her hands. And I say, thank you, Jesus. You know, we prepared ice cream. We didn't prepare prayer, but we did pray. We did pray. Because, you know, Jesus is faithful, right? And we who profess Jesus must believe who he is. And he will do what he says he will do, because he does. My challenge to you, and there's much more we could share about what God is doing on the border. My challenge to you is hold unswervingly to the hope you profess. Unswervingly. That's what we had to do in prison. No hope, nothing around us gave us hope, but we held on to Jesus. In this place on the border, we hold on to Jesus because that's the only way. Hold unswervingly to the hope you profess because he who promised it is faithful. Faithful to you, faithful to us. And also, let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. We're here just to tell you a few stories and to spur you on to what God wants you to do. I don't know what that is, but I know if you pray and ask him, he'll share with you. It might be big. It might be say, ooh, I can't do that. In Jesus, you can, right? We have no life without Jesus. And our responsibility is to share the hope and the life that we have. And as Jesus said, he said, go, right? But he also said, pray, help, give, and go. And that's what we look at. Thank you.
If you enjoyed today's episode and feel called to support and give to PPC, you can head over to our website at ppclife.ca, where you can give, get involved, and find out more information about our church. We can't wait to hear from you. God bless.